Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is a crazy day, crazy time, as new details on the second Trump assassination attempt have now come out. And I'll tell you, one thing is very, very clear from all this. They say the suspect didn't have a line of sight on Trump, but he apparently was hanging out in the bushes for 12 hours. 12 hours just hanging out there with an AK-47. So a lot of questions around this, as you can imagine. This is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Also, too, I want to mention, this is our happy hour, brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We're going to be live there on October 11th, Friday, October 11th, for our next live show. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to have a wonderful time together, and I hope you will join us for that at the Grand Hotel of Cape May coming up on Friday, October 11th. All right? It's going to be great, and would love to see you there. It'd be a lot of fun. Oh, the live shows are always fun. Always fun. Absolutely a lot of fun. By the way, I should also mention our buddy David Urban just posted a picture. He bumped into Paul Whelan, who was recently released from Russian prison after being wrongfully detained for 2,000 days. A Marine, Paul Whelan, Pennsylvania guy, who is now home, and thank God that that's great news. So David Urban just posted that picture. I just retweeted it for you on X if you are following along on the show that way. Terry is in Morristown. She wanted to weigh in on the press conference today. Hello, Terry.
Hey, Rich. How you doing?
All right,
I have to agree with what you're saying. A few opinions regarding that. I think Robert Roe is busy patting himself and his group on the back for a job not well done. The guy was on the property for 12 hours, and they didn't know it until one guy walked forward, one hole forward, to see the gun shooting, sticking out of the bushes. No. Joe Biden, if he owned that property, he would have never been on the property at all. The increase in security happened after this another attempt. They're just trying to CYA. And in my opinion, the one who was the great person for the day was that civilian who took a picture of the license plate. He's the hero of the day, not Robert Roe. And it angers me to hear that man pat himself on the back, because they've messed up twice now that anyone got even close to Trump. My opinion.
Yeah, it's insane how you would not have the perimeter covered or eyes on it, and they still don't seem to have a freaking drone. It's just it's amazing to me. Terry, thank you for your thoughts. I appreciate it very much. Have a wonderful day. Frank is in Delco. Frank, your thoughts.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My concern now, and I think a question to be given to Secret Service is, do we have any type of an investigation looking at, do we have issues with inside the service itself? I mean, Butler was a debacle. Now you have this. This was an unscheduled move, which means it's not on a public agenda or anything like that. But yet, these people know where to be in the right spots at the right time. And it troubles me to say that about Secret Service, but I don't know. Would you just start putting the things together and connecting the dots? And it looks like we got a big issue here.
Yeah, no question about it. There's a lot of questions around this. Frank, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Very happy to welcome to the show Matt Whitaker, former acting United States Attorney General. Follow him on X at MattWhitaker46. I was just together with him in Pennsylvania last week for an event regarding the election. We'll talk about that in a second. But Attorney General, I got to get your opinion on all this. I'm sure you listened intently to that press conference. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I did. You know, I continue to believe that we're underplaying the threat and we're not allocating enough security to President Trump based on the threats that are against him. And, you know, we can point to the evidence of having two assassination attempts against him as exhibit number one. So we'll, you know, I think really it's time to get serious about protecting President Trump especially, but, you know, all protectees and determine who really needs protection and make sure that they are fully safe, because we, you know, our country can't afford any more political violence.
And it seems like two instances here where guys with guns got way too close to Donald Trump. And it's just remarkable how this occurs. We still don't have all the facts yet from the first assassination attempt in Butler. But I did hear Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut last week say that when the facts come out, it's going to be very shocking for everybody.
Yeah, I heard that, too. And, I, you know, again, it's probably not a large stretch of the imagination to understand that when somebody gets that close to the former president with a rifle and actually, you know, hits him. Thankfully, it was, you know, just a non-fatal wound. But, I mean, I just think that that should have been alarm bells across really all protective services, and understanding that, you know, they hadn't weren't imaginative enough. You think about the lessons learned out of 9/11. It was that we lacked imagination. And I think now that we've had two long rifle, one attempt, you know, and one attempted, depending how you draw that distinction, but certainly two long rifles within shooting distance of President Trump, I think that's incredibly dangerous. And, you know, and I'm around the president all the time, as you can imagine. I was just with him Saturday night in Utah at an event. And certainly, you know, you can tell that security has been beefed up, that they're, you know, running a bigger perimeter than maybe they've had in the past. But, you know, obviously the golf course and maybe other potential venues are not as safe as the Secret Service imagines.
What are some of the questions that you still have as the former acting attorney general of the United States regarding Butler and even regarding what just happened over the weekend?
You know, my main question, it continues to be, why aren't the proper resources being allocated to President Trump? I mean, I think we've heard, you know, some statements made, and I think we'll hear, you know, more out of Congress, I think, as they get the information from the Secret Service. But I just think that, you know, the Secret Service is not allocating enough resources to President Trump's detail. I think his detail has asked for more resources. I mean, we saw that play out in the immediate aftermath of Butler, and I think we're going to continue to see that play out now that this Trump International Golf Course attempt has been made. And, you know, I think we just, you know, Secret Service needs to address the threats. I mean, you have to give the protection based on the threats, and I don't think they're doing that currently.
Do you have any questions regarding if the shooter had help or anything like that?
I do. I mean, I think all of America does, right? I mean, we continue to have this vacuum with the first shooter. We know nothing about him, really. We don't know what he believed and, like, why he was carrying, you know, I mean, again, the speculation is he had a couple phones, he was using encrypted apps. I mean, I think, you know, that, you know, the Butler shooter, there's all sorts of questions surrounding that guy. He's a complete ghost almost. And then, you know, the second one, I think we're learning more about, you know, his at least past and kind of the type of person he is, but we have no idea, you know, who he was connected with and whether or not, you know, he was coordinating with others. So, you know, we expect that law enforcement will get behind us. Obviously, the preventing even a shot from being fired at Donald Trump yesterday was a complete great effort by the Secret Service agent. And then the apprehension was a great effort by the Sheriff's Department down in Florida. And so, I mean, I think there's a lot of good that can be taken from this, but I think we need to know more about each one of these individuals, their motivations, their connections, you know, anybody that also worked in concert with them.
Matt Whitaker's with me, former acting attorney general of the United States. You were in PA last week. It was nice to see you there in person for this event to protect the vote and Trump Force 47 and protectthevote.com. Mm-hmm. Election integrity, obviously also a big subject on everybody's minds as we look at the election starting in Pennsylvania very, very soon. Some breaking news on that. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court has just come out a short time ago and ruled that ballots without a signature on the envelope will not be counted in the 2024 election. This follows on Friday's ruling. They said ballots that don't have a date will not be counted in the election. So that's great news. There's some real progress that the courts are not trying to usurp the legislature. But are you feeling good about the prospects for a fair election coming up this November?
Yeah, I feel like we're in a better position than possibly in 2020. I think we still have a long way to go to make it easy to vote and hard to change. I think we need to continue to get towards universal voter ID. You know, you need a license or an ID to board a plane, to buy a beer, and so many other parts of everyday life. I think we should have, you know, well beyond time that we do that. I think we should have paper ballots. I think we should have same day voting with very limited extension of the, you know, of the absentee program to make it truly unable to vote on election day instead of what we now have is an election season. So I think there's a long way to go, especially in some states. But with that being said, I think we're in a good position. And obviously, the RNC and others have filed over 100 lawsuits in a lot of the states to fix some of these wide open loopholes that I think were a real challenge to, you know, the integrity of the vote. And I think we need a system where all Americans believe in the outcome of the election. And I think it's good for the republic, and I think it's good for, you know, the American people.
And doesn't it make sense to also ensure that only United States citizens can vote? I mean, the way the Democrats are protesting this so much and just, you know, mm-hmm. gnashing of their teeth with the idea that we would ensure that only Americans can vote in a presidential election. It's just it's remarkable.
Yeah, that's been one of the most baffling things as I've watched this play out this election season is anybody that objects to preventing non-citizens, ineligible voters from casting a vote. Because, you know, and we saw this play out so much in, you know, in the last couple of elections, that once a vote is cast, it's you can't unring that bell. Once an illegal vote is cast and gets thrown into the voting ballot policy, there's no way to associate the ballot with the voter, so therefore their vote is counted. And I just think we have to do more, especially in these states that have very liberal voter registration laws and where there's been some effort to possibly register illegal voters. I think we have to clean that up, and we have to get those people off the voter rolls. And, you know, I mean, obviously, some states like Arizona are trying to work on their own to fix that problem. And, you know, again, I'm going to, you know, continue to support those efforts nationwide as I travel this country. And it was good to see you up in Fort Washington.
Yeah, it really was. It was great to see you and Chairman Michael Whatley as well. Well, I hope you come back on the show. It's been great to catch up with you. It's been great to have you on. I hope you'll visit us again. Follow former Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker on X at Matt Whitaker 46. Thanks, General. It was fun. Great. Let's do this again.
All right. Thank you. We'll see you talk to you soon. Thanks.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rizzioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
And I should mention, too, a good opportunity to plug ProtectTheVote.com. ProtectTheVote.com if you want to sign up to be a poll watcher and help out, because they definitely need poll watchers to go out there on Election Day and be present to keep eyes on the situation. That would be great. MSNBC blaming Trump for getting shot at yet again, places the sole onus on lowering the temperature and toning down.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
On the rhetoric on him, but like I said, you know, there's a difference between heated political rhetoric, which is something this country's always had, and the rhetoric of the left constantly calling him Hitler, cut number six.
Both sides of the aisle. And so I think it's just something that Democrats and Republicans have to be very cognizant about. What can we all do to take the temperature down?
Yeah. Do you expect there to be calls from within the Trump campaign to do that? Because he's going to reach out to his supporters and say, let's take this down. We do not know, again, the source of any gunshot or gunshots. We don't know who's responsible for this. The whole thing has yet to be 100% confirmed from start to finish how this all played out. But do you expect to hear anything from the Trump campaign about toning down the rhetoric, toning down the violence, or would that be atypical of the former president?
Well, Alex, remember back to the assassination attempt on President Trump's life and how, you know, there was talk of a new tone. And then the Republican convention was, by Trumpian standards, muted. And it did seem like he was, you know, just trying to take it down a few notches. But then by the end of his convention speech, you know, we were kind of back to where we started.
The difference is the Democrats keep saying that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. That's the difference. And I'm really tired of this equation. There's no equation here. There's no moral equivalency with people who say, you know, we're going to take back our country or go punch him in the face or I hate Taylor Swift, to people saying Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. All right. It's a huge, huge difference. And I mentioned to you that Donald Trump put out this statement before Democrats' rhetoric inspired another attempt on President Trump's life. Now, we don't know exactly the motivations of the shooter, but this is some of the stuff that's been said by people. Ready? Representative Jasmine Crockett, MAGA in general, they are threats to us domestically. Nancy Pelosi, Trump is a threat to our democracy of the kind that we have not seen. Joe Biden, it's time to put Trump in a bullseye. Joe Biden, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, Trump is a threat to the nation. I mean, you can't go out and say this stuff. Liz Cheney, Trump presents a fundamental threat to the republic, and we are seeing it on a daily basis. He is destructive to our democracy, and he has to be eliminated. That's Representative Dan Goldman. Some whack job hears that and think they're doing the right thing by taking this guy out. That's different than somebody hearing Bernie Sanders. This is why I don't equate it to Steve Scalise. This is why it's different. Steve Scalise hears Bernie Sanders say, take back our country and, you know, this is a revolution and all those things. That's different. You know, that guy was a whack job who, and I'm not saying this guy's not a whack job, but that's different. You know, you hear political rhetoric and you think you're going to take up arms. That's just on you and your deranged mental state. When you hear constantly that the man who may become elected president of the United States of America may destroy the world, may end democracy as we know it, may put people in camps, may do all these things, then that's different. That's different. Then that's where you go, I got to do something for the sake of humanity. I got to do something here. And that's why there's no moral equivalency. None. It's that reason. So I'm sorry, but when people say to me, both sides have to tone down the rhetoric, both sides do not have to tone down the rhetoric. If it wasn't for calling Trump Hitler and saying he was a threat to democracy, I would say let the angry rhetoric go forth, because it's always been that way in this country. But they're also very quick to blame Donald Trump for things like Fugazi bomb threats by saying that people are eating dogs and cats. So Dana Bash did this with J.D. Vance over the weekend, blaming him and Donald Trump for these bomb threats, which we know are Fugazi bomb threats. But let's start there, shall we? This is J.D. Vance with CNN. Which one, Matt, did you say 16, I believe, is the one that you mentioned I should play? Is that right?
Cut 20 and 21.
Cut 20. Yeah. I was way off. All right. Cut 20. J.D. way off. Well, I'm no math guy, as you know. So here's J.D. Vance with Dana Bash. Cut 20.
Senator, I have to go through several things that you just said. First of all, the Clark County Sheriff and the Ohio Department of Natural Resources reviewed 11 months of 911 calls. They only identified two instances of people alleging Haitians were taking geese out of parks. They found zero evidence to substantiate those claims. Also, other evidence that you have talked about, even you've retweeted alleged evidence, are unsourced social media videos from a different city, apparently no connection to Haitians. And this is from a conservative activist who offered a $5,000 reward for such things. And then going just back to the schools and the hospitals and so forth being overwhelmed, nobody is disputing that the town of Springfield, Ohio, needs help. But you're not just a bystander. You're the senator from Ohio. So instead of saying things that are wrong and actually causing the hospitals, the schools, the government buildings to be evacuated because of bomb threats, because of the cats and dogs thing, why not actually be constructive in helping to better integrate them into the community? Because there are a lot of employers there who say that the Haitian workers are helping fill jobs that they need desperately filled.
Dana, first of all, let me just respond to a couple of things that you said, but I want to start with something you said, which I think is frankly disgusting and is more appropriate for a Democratic propagandist than it is for an American journalist. There is nothing that I have said that has led to threats against these hospitals. These hospitals, the bomb threats and so forth, it's disgusting. The violence is disgusting. We condemn it. We condemn all violence.
Senator, this happened after you and
but
President
say,
Trump
no,
Dana, were on,
no,
the,
Dana,
on the debate
say,
stage said
Dana,
that cats and dogs
you
were
asked,
being
you asked a question, Dana, and I'm going to go ahead and answer it.
Okay,
what
after that,
said,
they were threatened.
What we have said is that this town has suffered terribly under the policies of Kamala Harris. Now, you just accused me of inciting violence against the community when all that I've done is surface the complaints of my constituents, people who are suffering because of Kamala Harris's policies. Are we not allowed to talk about these problems because some psychopaths are threatening violence? We can condemn the violence on the one hand, but also talk about the terrible consequences of Kamala Harris's open border on the other hand. Now, let me just fact check a couple of other things that you said, Dana, because it's important. You said that all of these migrants are in the country legally. They're in the country through what's called temporary protective status.
Right.
That is when Kamala Harris waved a magic amnesty wand, taking people and giving them legal status. That is not to say that they're here legally. That is a terrible indictment of her amnesty policies.
Let me just jump in here for a second. So what she said here about the hospitals and everything else, the call-ins and all that, right, all the bomb threats. Here's the governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, all right? Mike DeWine is no fan of Donald Trump. Mike DeWine was out there saying that people aren't eating dogs and cats. But it turns out that the 33 bomb threats against Springfield schools, they all turn out to be hoaxes and they originated from overseas. All right? Take a listen.
At least 33 separate bomb threats, each one of which has been responded to, and each one of whom has been found as a hoax. So 33 threats. 33 hoax. I want to make that very, very clear. None of these had any validity at all. We know that people are very, very concerned, and we have taken some actions, and in a moment I'll let Andy Wilson go into more detail. But we've moved resources into Springfield. So I want to say to the parents in Springfield, these hoaxes have These threats have all been hoaxes. None of them have panned out. We have people, unfortunately, overseas who are taking these actions. Some of them are coming from one particular country. We think that this is, one more opportunity to mess with the United States, and they're continuing to do that. So we cannot
they're
let
fugazis,
the bad
all right,
guys.
Thank you. That's there you go. They're fugazis. Fugazis. Now, you know, it's not a fugazi. Two attempts on Donald Trump's life because they keep calling him Hitler. They keep calling the guy Hitler. Here's Representative Jasmine Crockett, who said this, by the way, hours before the assassination attempt on Donald Trump's life. This is hours before the assassination attempt. Just one example of the kind of crap that they say about him all the time. And it's a lot different to say, take back our country. We got to win. You know, this is a revolution. You know, let's storm the barricades. I mean, all that stuff is way different than this kind of crap from a elected member of Congress on MSNBC with Jen Psaki, cut 11.
I talk about the fact that when we swore in finally in January, that we swore to defend against those that are coming against us, whether they are domestic or international. And right now, I feel like MAGA in general, they are threats to us domestically. And we see it time and time again. And I think that's why you see so many national leaders, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, coming together to say, there is only one person qualified to be the commander-in-chief, and that is Kamala.
The threats to us domestically. Tim Walz said the same thing, too. Actually, you know, there's a little montage of a lot of these Democrats saying these things. And I just want to emphasize again, it's the part about the Republicans and Trump being the threat to democracy that is the issue for me. That's the issue that I have. I've never had a problem with political rhetoric. Over-the-top, heated political rhetoric, I could care less. It doesn't bother me. But that's why I don't blame movies, I don't blame books, I don't blame video games, I don't blame political rhetoric. But the difference is, this part of it, of the difference of history teaching us that there are people that believe that they're stopping madmen from taking over the world. And they may think that they're a hero of democracy by doing so. But the other point I want to mention is we don't know the motives of the shooter, and we don't know if he had help, and we don't know if this was also something that the complexes, the various complexes, entities trying to stop Trump. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be naive to what history has taught us, which is that when there are certain people who are threats to them making massive amounts of money, that they will try to take that person out. Because history has also taught us that, too. And if you don't believe that, then you are just not a student of history. I don't know what else to tell you. You're just not a student of history. You haven't paid attention to civilization, to world history. But again, I can't say that that's the motivation either, because we don't have all the details yet. We just don't know all these things. But here's a lot of Democrats calling for the use of political violence because Donald Trump is a threat to America and democracy, and he's Hitler. Cut three.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. Mm-hmm. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take you behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look, as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
This way. That's it right there, pulling up.
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Now, I don't have any problem with him saying, you know, punch him in the face or take him out back to the schoolyard. All that stuff is hyperbole. But it's the other stuff that I have a problem with. It's that. It's the Hitler stuff. It's the threat to democracy stuff. And that the Hitler stuff's not even in that montage. That's not even in that one. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole other montage of that, of them saying he's Hitler, he's Mussolini, and, you know, the news coming out and saying, you know, Donald Trump once again referencing Mein Kampf, and Donald Trump once again using the rhetoric of Adolf Hitler, and it's not true, and saying he's a threat to democracy, think about that, a threat to democracy and what that means. So you will lose your freedom. You will lose your liberty because he's a threat to democracy. What was Hitler? Hitler was a threat to democracy. That's the difference. That's the distinction. Now, saying that Democrats want to impose socialism and Marxism as an economic force, that's not the same as saying they're going to end democracy. Saying that Democrats want to control our lives and the food that we eat, I don't see the moral equivalency here. I really don't. Because when you turn around and you keep saying that somebody is going to be a madman who's going to what the greatest evil of the 20th century, Adolf Hitler. I mean, there were others too. I'm not just him. Stalin, you know, Pol Pot, I mean, Mao Zedong. I mean, there's a lot of them. Idi Amin. There's you know, you could go the ranks of crazy people who rose to power and then let you know a lot of bodies in the wake of this. Although you never hear Stalin's name thrown out. You notice that you never hear that guy's name. That guy gets a pass. Killed a whole lot of people, Stalin, but he somehow evades the comparisons, and it's I wonder why. I'm just curious about that. Same with Mao Zedong. He doesn't really come up. You notice that in the little kaleidoscope of crazy evil dictators, those two somehow, for some reason, even Che Guevara, his name doesn't get mentioned. Castro's name doesn't come up either. I'm all these people that kill people in order to come to power and then stay in power. They're just for some reason they never get compared to. That's just well, I wonder why. Anyway, you just can't know what's going to motivate somebody to be a hero. This guy, look, I don't know, but this guy went to Ukraine. He thought he was fighting for Ukraine, for freedom, fighting Russia, thought he was trying to recruit people to fight for Ukraine, wanted Trump taken out. See what I mean? It's just the motivation of this. And I would just think you could be as over the top on policy as you want. Like, I don't care if you come out and you say, you know, Donald Trump's gonna destroy the environment. Donald Trump's gonna end the air that we breathe and the water that we drink, and because all that stuff is hyperbole. It's hyperbolic. I don't care. My mind is no different than saying Democrats are gonna, you know, take away my freedom to eat cheeseburgers. Like it's well, that case is, I mean, all that's true, obviously. But there's a big difference between hyperbole and sending this cause that you have to stop evil. You know, like you've got to stop the rise of evil and an evil guy who's taking over the country and possibly the world. There's no moral equivalency with those things. None. I mean, even if you come out and you say, you know, Donald Trump's going to take away your women's rights to be able to, you know, travel the country and get abortions. And that's all over the top heated rhetoric. If somebody takes a gun and does something because of that, that guy's just a whack job who heard what he wanted to hear. That's different than saying we got to take out this guy because he's going to destroy democracy and he's going to be the Fuhrer and he's going to wind up putting people in camps and he's going to kill his enemies and he's going to unleash the military on people. I mean, all that stuff can just make somebody believe that they're on the side of right, you know, that they're doing the right thing here, that philosophically speaking, how could they not try to take the guy out if they have a shot? And that's the problem. And since Trump is not that guy, he's not doing those things, the Democrats should cool it with that crap. They really should. And go after Trump. Go after him with hyperbole on all the other things. That's fine. But stop with the Hitler and stop with the threat to democracy. Stop with all that crap. You know what I mean? Go after him on all the other stuff. But enough with the Hitler and the threat to democracy already. Like, enough. Because you're going to inspire some guy who thinks he's a freedom fighter versus just your garden variety whack job who's going to get inspired by heated political rhetoric. And that's the difference. And I think I've been very clear on that point, which is why the both sides argument is nonsense. I've said a lot of things about Joe Biden. I've said a lot of things about Kamala Harris. I've said a lot of things about Tim Walz. I've never said that they were going to destroy democracy and that they were going to put people in camps and that she was going to be the next Joseph Stalin. I've said she's going to impose communist price controls. She's going to destroy free market capitalism. But if you can't see the difference in that between me saying she's going to be the next Stalin and lead to the purges and millions of people are going to die under her watch, then you're as crazy as a shooter is. I don't know what else to tell you. It's a huge difference in terms of political rhetoric. Yeah, there's a difference. And I'm tired of being lectured about the both sides crap, because it's not both sides. Give me a freaking break. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, if you want to weigh in. Listen, when it comes to your home, peace and protection are paramount. That's why I trust the team at Emmons Roofing and Siding, E-M-M-O-N-S, EmmonsRoofing.com. That's where you want to go. Hey, how about an inflation relief discount of 10% off roofing, siding, Anderson Windows, doors, and so much more? Well, it can be yours with Emmons Roofing. I've trusted them for 10 years in two different homes, and I'm so glad I did, because they've done a great job for me, a great job for me in my home. And they're a wonderful team, great people all around. So reach out to them today, EmmonsRoofing.com, 10% off. 10% inflation relief discount. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore, and they are there for you every step of the way. Matt and Stephanie know how important you are to me, and they're going to make sure they do great work for you, and you are going to be thrilled with the work, all right? EmmonsRoofing.com, EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
How's that lawn of yours doing, huh? I'm Matt DeSantis. You have a nice lawn, by the way? I haven't asked you. How's your lawn?
Lawn's doing well. Thank you for inquiring.
Are you proud of your lawn?
Of course. Who isn't proud of their lawn? Well, I guess if you don't take care of it, but yeah, I'm proud of my lawn.
If you don't take care of it, but did you grow up with people who were proud of their lawns?
Every middle-class family is proud of their lawn, right, Rich?
Right? I mean, you know, people who are proud of their lawn. You know what I mean? I'm proud of my lawn because my landscaper does a hell of a job.
I don't know much about economics or inflation, but I do know a lot about lawns.
I know a lot about lawns. People are proud of it, right? Right? Man, that was the worst. That interview was so bad. And then I find out that it was edited. Did you know that?
Yeah, we have the unedited version and then the one that 6ABC actually aired.
Yeah, and I know, I see it right here in the cut sheet, but I'm saying, like, I didn't know when I posted the clip originally of the original clip, I didn't know that they were editing that. So how did the original clip get out? That's what I want to know.
They released the full 11-minute interview. I guess it was after the snippets aired, but yeah, she didn't really do well.
All right, so here's the let's hear the first of all the edited clip, which makes her sound not nearly as insane as the unedited clip does. So we'll start there, and then we'll play the unedited, incoherent nonsense about her talking about the economy. So it's a very, very basic question. What are you going to do to make things better? Be specific. Let's start there.
When we talk about bringing down prices and making life more affordable for people, what are one or two specific things you have in mind for that?
So when I talk about building an opportunity economy, it is very much with the mind of investing in the ambitions and aspirations and the incredible work ethic of the American people and creating opportunity for people, for example, to start a small business. So my opportunity economy plan includes giving startups a $50,000 tax deduction to start their small business. It used to be $5,000. Nobody can start a small business with $5,000. Opportunity
economy.
Okay, so economy,
that's
economy
right
means,
there. That's the edited version. All right? She was right. You go, wow, she's right into it. She's ready to go with policy specifics and ready to go and not so much. Okay? Here's the unedited version that 6ABC did not clean up for her. That was the version they aired, which they did clean up for her. This, it's a night and day difference. Take a listen.
We talk about bringing down prices and making life more affordable for people. Yeah. What are one or two specific things you have in mind for that?
Well, I'll start with this. I grew up a middle class kid. My mother raised my sister and me. She worked very hard. She was able to finally save up enough money to buy our first house when I was a teenager. I grew up in a community of hardworking people, you know, construction workers and nurses and teachers. And I try to explain to some people who may not have had the same experience, you know, but a lot of people will relate to this. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood of folks who were very proud of their lawn, you know, And I was raised to believe and to know that all people deserve dignity. And that we as Americans have a beautiful character.
You made a great observation, Matt DeSantis. That gulp. That loud gulp that she makes there. The trying to get the programming. You know, I always say that Karine Jean-Pierre is a fembot. I'm wondering if Kamala Harris is a fembot too, and they just have the laugh setting too high on the robot. But man, that nervous gulp. Can you back up to the gulp?
Yeah, I think I got it here.
You know, I grew up in a neighborhood of folks who were very proud of their lawn.
Yeah, now go back and play and keep going with the gulp, because I feel like when you hear the words, the gulp, and then you keep going, it really sticks out for you.
All right, here it is.
You know, I grew up in a neighborhood of folks who were very proud of their lawn, you know? And I was raised to believe and to know that all people deserve dignity. And that we as Americans have a beautiful character. You know, we have ambitions and aspirations and dreams, but not everyone necessarily has access to the resources that can help them fuel those dreams and ambitions. So when I talk about building an opportunity economy, it is very much with the mind of investing in the ambitions and aspirations and the incredible work ethic of the American people and creating opportunity for people, for example, to start a small business.
Okay, how long is that answer right there?
The whole thing's about a minute and a half. The question was maybe 10 seconds, so a minute 20.
All right, so it takes her a minute and 20 seconds to get to the edited clip you played where she talks about specifically what she'd do. Am I right about that? So they took out that rambling 90 seconds of nonsense about lawns and gulping. And is that accurate?
Yeah, the lawn was removed from the question.
All of it was. The whole thing about the people proud of their... The whole 90 seconds gone. It literally begins, I think, with her saying, people don't have enough and we're going to do this. And then they tightened it up, but they took out all that other nonsense.
They helped her out. I mean, she was asked about economics and inflation, and she rambled for a minute before she even touched upon the subject.
She sounds like she's trying to, like, hit the word count on a college essay, and she's just trying to expand it to reach the word count.
Oh, it's bad. It's brutal. It's bad.
Also, now that you know the edits are in there from the first clip that we played, you can spot them easily. Every time ABC makes a cut, they go to Brian Taft, who was conducting the interview, and then they cut back to Kamala with a clip that's sort of on topic. At least more on topic than the response that she gave.
Oh, so you can see him?
Oh, yeah, clearly. There's a bunch of them.
And then it...
I can
so
count
it was like
them
a tennis quick. Match, or just him, her, like that, back and forth.
Yeah,
oof,
it looked
brutal.
Bad.
And then she gave a pitch to Trump supporters. This is also nonsense. If you're trying to make a pitch to Trump supporters, I think you got to do a little bit better than this. But here's Brian Taft asking her the question, how do you appeal to them? Cut 14.
What do you understand his appeal to be? And how do you speak to his voters or maybe people who just share his values but are open to something else?
I, based on experience and a lived experience, no. In my heart, I know, in my soul, I know that the vast majority of us as Americans have so much more in common than what separates us. And I also believe that I am accurate in knowing that most Americans want a leader who brings us together as Americans and not someone who professes to be a leader who is trying to have us point our fingers at each other.
Is it that hard for her to turn around and go, because I'm gonna make sure that you're prosperous and you're going to make a lot of money and I'm going to cut taxes for you and you're going to have a great economy? Like, is it that hard for her to just give an answer that isn't a word salad? Every answer is a freaking word salad. I know in my heart, I know in my soul, I blah, 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 blah. That's your elevator pitch? That's your elevator pitch to get a person who's going to vote for Trump to come over and vote for you. Okay? Well, this is why she wants another debate. I mean, this is the reason she wants another debate, because she can't close this. She cannot close! She's incapable of it. She's a bad candidate. I mean, that's a bad candidate. He gave you on a silver platter the ability to turn around and go, I'm because Trump supporters, listen, you want change? I'm the change candidate. I wasn't president. I was VP. Well, when I'm president, you're going to make a ton of money. Inflation's going to come down. You're going to be living, you're going to be swimming in prosperity. Instead, it's, well, I know in my heart, and I know in my soul, and I know in my, and you're like, what? Oh, is it like a, she's like a Hallmark card, isn't she? Like what she just said there, I feel like I read in a Hallmark card in CVS and I didn't buy it.
Hallmark cards are like short and concise though in their language.
That's true. That's a long rambling Hallmark card. Well, you read the whole thing and you go, I don't think this card said anything. It's like the front of the card goes, why I want you to join me. And you open it up. It's, I know in my heart. I know in my soul. We're all alike and blah, blah, blah. You go, and how much is this card? $5.99? I'm not buying this crap. It didn't say anything. You put it right back on the shelf. Unless it sings to you. I do like the singing cards, just for the record.
No, they're horrible. Who wants to listen to that?
You know, my Mamazioli's a big fan of buying those things. Did you know that?
Oh, then I like them. I'm Team Mamazioli.
You always are. Yeah. Yeah. No, she buys the ones that the oversized, gigantic ones that cost like $42 and sing. And she sends them to the kids, and it terrifies the children. It terrifies them.
They're loud.
They're loud, and they're scary, and they don't stop, and I have to eventually just take the battery out. Because in the middle of the night, I'll start hearing the cards. They just go off on their own. Terrifying. But they make more sense than Kamala Harris does.
They're not as whiny either.
Right, and there's more substance there. Hey, are you happy to know that Gayle King is impartial, Matt DeSantis? Are you happy about that?
So she claims.
How much money has she donated? $9,000 to Harris's campaign?
I believe
that's just
so.
In California. Gayle King, Oprah's buddy, and also all the money she gave the Democrats, too. But she's impartial, so there you go. You can feel good about that. Cut 16.
So let's start with the Taylor Swift surge. The pop star, she urged her fans to register to vote at vote.gov after she endorsed Kamala Harris for president on Tuesday. Vote.gov says more than 405,000 people visited the website after Swift's post. The site only had, check this out, 30,000 visitors the week before. Wow. That is wild to me.
Yeah.
All right, so the CEO of the nonprofit vote.org says Swift's impact on voter engagement is undeniable, because people were like, well, what does it matter?
Yeah, celebrity endorsements don't make a difference.
Who cares? Yes. It makes
a
difference.
I actually heard somebody, I think it was J.D. Vance, said it doesn't matter, you know, because she's a billionaire and she's out of touch. Meanwhile, your running mate is a billionaire, celebrity
I think
as well.
He said a celebrity billionaire.
Yeah, a celebrity billionaire.
Yeah, and there are people
along
who are,
with your running mate.
It sounds like projection.
Yes.
A little bit.
There are people who are afraid of fuller participation in our democracy. I think more people voting and making their voices heard is a good
thing. That's right.
I do, too.
In the way she did it.
Yeah.
It was basically saying, go out there and vote. Here's my opinion on what's going on.
She's not telling you who to vote for.
Yes.
She's
saying
do your own research.
And we respect that around here as much as we try to remain impartial. All right. So there's
we try to remain impartial.
We do.
We do. We
do.
Are impartial. 100.
We are. 100%. Yes. Yo, way to correct me.
That boy, you're talking about you're in denial there. You know what I mean? You are so in denial. It's like, I'm not an alcoholic. Give me another shot of bourbon. We are not alcoholics here, all right? We've only done 4 shots of bourbon and 2 beers.
I love that 20 seconds.
On a Monday morning. What?
I love that 20 seconds before she claims she's impartial, she attacks J.D. Vance.
Yeah, we're impartial. J.D. Vance sucks. We're totally impartial here on this show. We try to be impartial. No, we are impartial. I try to not drink on Monday mornings at 10 a.m. But, well, now that I'm here, give me a J.D. on the rocks. Johnny Walker on the rocks. Yeah, that's awkward too. And how many you did a count? How many cuts from Brian Taft and 6ABC in the 60-second response?
They needed 4 cuts in order to make Kamala sound coherent.
4 cuts. Wow. It's pretty good.
In 60 seconds. And even with the cuts, I didn't think her response was all that convincing.
Yeah, and Justin, to your point about it being if, you know, you got to reach the word count, that's always the part where the teacher just takes a gigantic red pen and goes, all of this is unnecessary blabber, and just cuts it right out. And goes, now you're back down to only having 250 words, taking out the other 1,500.
You didn't find the lawn line compelling?
They're proud of their lawns, you know? And what she loved too, and she says that, you know, like she's hoping Brian Taft's going to help her out and be like, yeah, I know, totally. Yeah. He just sits there.
Well, right after the long line is when she gulped. I think even she realized, oh no, what have I done here?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what that is exactly. From my years of working with candidates, that's when you have an empty suit, vapid candidate who has no substance whatsoever. And so what you do when you prep them is you tell them to tell stories. And I've been in this situation before with candidates who are terrible. And so the only thing you can do, the only saving grace, is to have them tell a story. Because they don't know how to actually answer questions properly. So that's what she did. She just recited a story that they rehearsed with her about lawns and, you know, people who, you know, are proud and, you know, and middle class houses and, you know, and then and you go, oh, this is so bad. This is a bad candidate. And the whole time you do this, when you work with candidates like that, you know, you're just getting a paycheck as the media trainer. There's nothing, you can't save them. You can't help them. You're like the psychiatrist at that point who's got a certifiably crazy person, and the only thing you can do is just put them away in a straitjacket in a padded room with a marker. There's no way to help them. But you're gonna get at least you're gonna file the insurance claim. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like that.
But I think she's not terrible when she's not forced to speak extemporaneously.
Well, that's great, Matt DeSantis. She can read a teleprompter. Wow, I'm so proud of her.
Well, she had to have I mean, it wasn't like Brian Taft jumped out of a bush and started asking her questions. She knew the interview was going to occur.
No, that's the difference. That's the problem. I'm telling you, I've worked with these people. They can't do interviews. They just can't. They can't. They're incapable of. The only thing they can do is read. They can read. That's it. They can't give a good interview. You practice with them. You rehearse with them. They become more scripted, more robotic, and they start. And then eventually you go, you know what? Tell the lawn story. Tell the story about everybody being proud about their lawns. And you sit back there and you go, oh, God, just get through this. Please, just get through this. Please.
Well, I'm not a political consultant, but I would recommend that they remove that lawn story from any future answers about the economy or inflation.
Yeah, I think that's probably smart. Very smart. All right, fourth and final hour straight ahead. I'm going to talk to our buddy Jeff Bartos about where things stand for Trump in Pennsylvania, the must-win state, as we continue along the show. And also, I'll give you the latest on what the Secret Service said today during the press conference. But I got to tell you, my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, great guy, great friend, the master of dental implants. Bridget has a beautiful new smile, thanks to Dr. Mike. Hey, her smile was beautiful before, but her veneers needed to be replaced. And now she has these gorgeous caps. Her smiles never look better. That's what Dr. Mike can do for you. Give you the smile you deserve. VeneriaDental.com is where you go. He's got two offices to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. And he's a great guy. And he's my dentist. My whole family goes to see Dr. Mike Veneria. And he's known as the master of dental implants for a reason. He's the best. Now, if you're thinking, I don't know if I want to drive to Jersey or something like that, listen, don't go to the closest dentist. Go to the best. That's Dr. Mike Veneria, 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020, or visit VeneriaDental.com. Get your free implant consultation for your perfect smile. 856-786-2020. You'll understand why for 10 consecutive years in a row, Dr. Mike has been regarded among his peers as a master of dental implants. That's my guy. My dentist, my friend, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.